In olden days, a glimpse of stocking was looked down as something shocking. Now heaven knows anything goes.
Good authors too, who once knew better words, now only use four-letter words, writing prose. Anything goes. The world has gone mad today, and good's bad today.
And day's night today, and black's white today.
And most guys today, that woman prize today,
are just silly gigolos.
And though I'm not a great romancer,
I know you're bound to answer
when we propose. Anything goes. Go.
And welcome back to Anything Goes right here on Kayfabe Sports Radio.
What?
I am your host, Heavy Set, and what we'd like to do on this show is we like to talk about random things depending on what's going on. Past couple episodes we have answered listeners' tweets and questions, but this is not that type of episode. What I wanted to do a couple weeks ago was talk WrestleMania. Unfortunately, never got a chance to talk about it going into WrestleMania, so I figured we will do it coming out of WrestleMania, which is actually very similar to how we revived NFL Easy Pick, not NFL, fucking show, how we revived Anything Goes just roughly 1 year ago. So, without any further ado, like I said, I am your host, Heavy Set. And we also have the Mop Jockey.
The round man of beatdown is here to lay that smackdown
on all of your cucumber asses. Speaking of which, we have Shane.
First off, you fucked up when you said Kayfabe Sports Radio when we're on the Trending Topics Network.
Did I say Kayfabe?
Yes, you did. So I'm going to have to take you to Suplex City, bitch.
Kayfabe's dead.
Yeah, Kayfabe's dead, yeah. Motherfucker.
I think I tweeted that whenever during Triple H's thing of that when he said Kayfabe's dead, I'm like, yeah, of course, Kayfabe Sports Radio is dead. Thank you. So, yeah. Did I actually say fucking Kayfabe? Damn it.
Yeah, because I go, what? You just kept rolling with it. So.
Yeah, this is not Kayfabe Sports Radio, where it's all a work.
Well, it used to be.
This is the Trending Topics Network, where it's all trending.
And it all
topics.
Works
all the time.
So what we're going to do, like I said, this episode, we're just going to talk WrestleMania. We have no outline. Hope we didn't fuck up and talk too much about everything before we started the show. So where should we begin?
A fucking tank.
A fucking tank, son.
That was awesome.
That was one of the best entrances I've ever seen at a WrestleMania.
I was going to say, was that the best entrance at a WrestleMania ever?
It might be because I had a fucking tank.
A fucking tank.
I thought the tank was cool.
Him,
but my favorite
the
of the my favorite of the night will still be Triple H.
That was, I don't know. That was one and only things I didn't like about it. It was just so generic. The coolest part about it was Schwarzenegger saying, "Time to play the game."
I just got the whole sell out to sell the movie vibe on that.
Yeah.
But for me, it was, we've always seen this King of Kings, Conan the Barbarian gimmick, and his entrance has been a variation of that for fucking years. I get it.
And I liked it.
But my whole thing was, obviously, because, you know, normally they pair up special entrances. At least that's what they've been doing. Or they do it for some of the bigger matches that they feel need it. Well, when Sting came out and had his, I was like, obviously, I'm like, yeah, this is kind of terrible. So I'm like, okay, Triple H, he's obviously going to get his little crown out. He's going to do this. He's going to do, like, I had this expectation already. And then when the little video package started of, like, clips of San Francisco scenery and all this kind of stuff, I was like, huh? And then you started to hear the Terminator theme, and I went, really? And then when they had the Terminators come out and then him come out with that, I'm like, okay, that was badass. Because maybe that was the whole purpose of, like, okay, you're expecting this Conan the Barbarian, but we're going to throw it in a completely different direction this year. If he goes back to it, I think actually, I don't know how I feel about it.
I guess it's probably more for Shane because it's something that went through my head. Would it have been better if it would have been dark?
Yes. Yeah, because they had, like, neon lights going and stuff, and that threw it off for me. If it was dark, I probably said it probably would have been one of Triple H's best entrances, but during the day...
Oh, all of those special images would have been a lot better if it was fucking dark out.
I didn't mind Bray Wyatt in the day.
Sting's Terminator. Actually, I'll take that back. The only one that was good in the dark, I mean good in the light, was Rusev.
Yes, Bray's would have been so much better with the fucking little fireflies and shit. And I think that was one of my bads about WrestleMania was how light out it was.
I wonder how often now they're going to steer away from these West Coast WrestleManias.
When was the last time they did a West Coast?
Let me change it. A West Coast WrestleMania in the sunlight. There was the one in Seattle in the Mariners Stadium.
Yeah, but that's a dome.
Was that a dome?
I think the Mariners Stadium used to be a dome.
I don't think it was, no.
Didn't they play in the Kingdome?
No, it was Safeco Field.
No, ain't that where they play now?
I don't know. I don't like Seattle.
The current football field, I guess, is not a retractable roof, but...
No. That, I would say that would be interesting.
Seattle.
Only because of the dynamics of that stadium with the crowd noise. They're known for, the fucking 12th man,
mm-hmm.
or as Shane likes, wants to be the 13th man, as we said before on Unaffiliates Picks.
That was definitely noticeable on the listen back, how even the entrance songs were hard to hear on the playback, because it was just dying.
But what I'm saying is, imagine that in the, what's it now, I always want to call it Quest Field, but it's something else for Seattle now.
I just looked it up. It's not Qualcomm. Anyway.
Yeah, I don't know. But imagine, like, all that. Like, I would be kind of for that. But I don't fucking... There's spring weather. There's a lot of places that I would love to see WrestleMania. But I think because of weather conditions, they'll never have it there.
Yeah, Seattle would have the same problem they would have here in Ohio, where it could be raining, it could be snowing, it could be 80 degrees, it could be 30 degrees.
I think we're fucked in Ohio. It's because what I had actually told people, because I know a lot of people are talking about going to Dallas, because that's going to be a huge WrestleMania and all that stuff. I'm just like, I know how to get to Dallas. I know roughly how to get to where the stadium is. But I hate Dallas traffic. Fucking hate Dallas traffic. And to get down, I probably wouldn't fly down there. I'd probably drive, because I'm used to it. I know the drive down there, and there's places that it sucks driving. I want to go to WrestleMania close.
If you decide to go to Dallas, let me know when you swing through here. We'll go down, because I am planning on going, and I'm planning on driving.
No, I'm not going. I want to go to a WrestleMania close to home. And if you look at all the candidates just around, like, not the candidates, you look at all the options around, you would never have it in Cleveland because of the weather. You would never have it in Columbus because of the weather.
Buffalo because of the weather.
You would never have fuck Buffalo because of the weather. No. You would never have it in Cincinnati because of the weather.
Indianapolis is an option because it's retractable roof.
Motherfucker, would you let me get out to that point? You would never have it in Pittsburgh because of the weather. They've already had it in Detroit,
mm-hmm.
and they don't like to repeat. That's their new mantra that they've said, that they want it to be this once, not really once in a lifetime, but like this big opportunity to have WrestleMania in your city, so it might not come back. So Detroit's out. New York is pretty much out. I wouldn't want to go to Philly. And the only option, I've already said, was Indianapolis. That is the closest option.
Closest, yes, but Chicago would be an option, too.
At Soldier?
Yep. I don't know if you would just go over to wherever the Bulls play, but...
No, you got to remember, they don't want them doing arenas anymore. They rather have the 80,000 people. They're now moved to football stadiums. That's flat out what it is.
Dude, could you imagine...
Either that or baseball. It has to be an open... arena.
Could you imagine a SummerSlam at, say, the Shoe? It seats 100 and something for football.
People have mentioned that. But WWE does not go, at least for WrestleMania, and I would even throw it out for SummerSlam, they don't go to college-only stadiums. They've been to the Orange Bowl, and where the Hurricanes play. But those are not dominantly college.
Yeah, they're not owned by the college, and I believe the Shoe is owned by the college. The Big There's House something. In Michigan's owned by the college.
I think they will not go to anything that is owned by colleges. I don't know whether it's The colleges don't want them. They don't want the colleges. The pricing, there's some reason why they don't.
There's probably a combination of all of that is the reason.
Because Chevy brought it up in GroupMe that I think, like, was he said, like, four of the top five or three of the top five biggest stadiums in the country are college.
Yeah, I know the Big House in Michigan will hold 100+. The Shoe holds 100+. And I want to say the one over in Penn State holds 100+.
But, you know, if they were to do it in Columbus, they would go to the Crew Stadium.
Because of the college thing we just talked about. But I'm talking about, like, fantasy booking-wise.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, 100, I bet they could get every bit of 130 to 150 in that freaking stadium.
Mm-hmm. The only question is, I don't exactly know where the Horseshoe is.
Michigan. Have you ever, do you go to anything, well, this is a side point, but yeah, move on.
No, just fuck it.
It's right beside, what's it called? United Airlines Arena. What's the name of that? Where they play basketball at, wherever that is. It's actually not that hard to get to.
See, that I might have been around it and not realized, because I know I've been by the arena, because the arena's by the convention center, which is where I went to Comic-Con.
They're kind of all clustered there together. But I think the problem also might be housing that many people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Columbus is big enough hotel infrastructure-wise to house that many people.
I think if they did it in Cleveland, I think our downtown is cluttered. We're just jam-packed with a lot of stuff in that area. Because we have, within a small area, we have the casino, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, the stadium, well, the First Energy Brown Stadium, Jacobs Field or Progressive Field, Quicken Loans Arena. Like, we have a lot within a pretty small area. And then, of course, there's a nightlife around that area. There's a couple of theaters, like not movie theaters, but like on-stage theaters.
Right.
It's a whole bunch of stuff in that area. But we have a number of hotels, which are close. Then we have, enough going out. On top, if people want to, granted, it's a little bit of a drive, but Akron-Canton, which is 45 minutes to an hour, we definitely have a lot in that area, because literally the same weekend every year is Firestone for golf and the Pro Football Hall of Fame weekend. Do you know how many hotels are in that small fucking area?
No.
Of Akron and Canton, like right around the Akron Canton Airport, it's nuts because they always expect like those two events are the same weekend. Granted, like I said, it's a little bit of a drive. It's not that hard of a drive, and we technically have a big convention center that they could do the WrestleMania weekend stuff at.
Well,
the IX Indoor. Well, IX Center, I should say.
I mean, you know, to your point, I was looking into that TLC, and I found a hotel half a mile from the queue.
Oh, yeah, there are many downtown. But I'm saying, like, there's even more if you go a little bit south. I want to try to figure out how far you'd be from downtown. It's not that far. It's right on 480. It's called Independence. They have a lot of stuff in this little valley area. I know they have hotels.
Well, I think one of the things that we're not thinking about is public transportation. What is the public transportation in that area? Because I'm going to guess a lot of people aren't going to be driving to things. They're going to need transportation to get around the city.
Oh, yeah, there's, there might be buses in Cleveland. Yeah, I think there's buses. Then we also have a train system. Like a subway type thing. I don't live up there in that part of Cleveland, and I've never used it, so I can't hardly talk about it.
That was one of the complaints about Indianapolis when they had the Super Bowl, was the public transportation, I guess, was really awful. Being around was a pain in the ass.
I think, like, traffic downtown, like, if we had WrestleMania, would be terrible.
Oh, God, I wouldn't even try to drive. You know, you said something about Dallas, dude. I wouldn't try to drive around Dallas that weekend. I'll drive down there.
No. I wouldn't drive to drive in Dallas any weekend. I wouldn't drive in Dallas, well, I have, but my preference is never during the fucking daytime. Their traffic is horrible. There's two places that I do not like driving during the daytime. Dallas and Atlanta.
Yeah, I've always heard, and I'm guessing L.A. is pretty bad from what I've heard, too.
Yeah,
I've never been out to L.A., so. New York is pretty bad, too, but
yep.
I've never been, like, downtown.
Especially
Philly wasn't too bad.
This asshole named Shane on the road, he will fuck a guy up.
That he will fuck a guy.
Right at all.
Well, boy, we just have a new clip, don't we?
Motherfucker.
What?
I just video? Fucking ruined myself.
Oh.
There's another one.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, long tangent on entrances.
Yeah. Yeah, that's where it started, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where it started.
Triple H has been to Texas and Ohio and New York and everything with that Terminator entrance.
Let's go to get it back on track. I did not like Sting Triple H because it took me out when NWA came out to save Sting.
That
there is no point in history that NWO helped Sting.
There was no point in history when Dr. Dre, Eazy-E, and all of them had anything to
NWO. You said NWA. I heard that.
Yeah, first time you said it. We're all fucking up today. This is such a fucked up episode.
Yeah. So it's perfect.
I mean, I thought it was cool to see Sting at Mania. I mean, that was, you know. But then when I heard the NWO music pick up, I'm like, are they coming to help Triple H? And then I seen them give Sting the bat, and I go, wait a minute, do they even watch WCW?
And the
here's my favorite thing, though. Whenever I was watching it, and DX came out, I was like, my first reaction was the NWO should come out. But I wasn't thinking that NWO. I was thinking Wolfpack.
Yes, because Sting was part of the Wolfpack.
But if you look at the Wolfpack lineup,
that was
okay. You well, hold on, no. You had Nash.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you did have Scott Hall.
Mm-hmm.
Macho Man's dead.
Mm-hmm.
Lex Luger's in a wheelchair.
Nah, he can wheel himself out there. Just throw a turbo engine on it for the man to walk.
And Conan will probably never be in WWE again, but he's also mixed in with Lucha Underground.
Mm-hmm.
That's your main members of Wolfpack.
Yeah, and the fact that 5 seconds after the match, they played the Hall of Fame clip that had all of those guys on the stage together raising each other's hands.
Yeah, kayfabe is dead.
Very much so.
Yeah, they cemented it at Mania, whatever.
Could you imagine, though, if instead of the NWO's music hit, you had the Wolfpack music hit?
Oh, my God. I would have jumped off the couch.
That would have been amazing. I mean, and Sting was wearing black and red.
And here's the thing, like, instead of just, like, those three members of the NWO, you had the Big Show there. He would have been a good fit for the NWO. I still was confused on X-Pac. I mean...
I still think he should have changed sides halfway through it.
Yeah, because I'm like, why are you with the DX when you were really...
I think we're all confused on the X-Pac.
Yeah, besides that.
For those who get this, and I tweeted it out, but I forgot to put... Hashtag NFL Easy Fix for, not hashtag NFL, wow. Hashtag Tweet the
Team.
Jesus
Christ.
Fucking,
we are fucked up.
But anyway, the tweet was, I think when it's said and done, X-Pac is going to feel like the Howard Wallowitz of the click with Hall of Fame rings.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's going to have the Hall of Fame ring except him.
I say give him 2 years, he's in the Hall of Fame. I do.
He won't go in unless they put DX in.
I think he could. I don't know if he.
If they put him in, they need to recognize him for his body of work, and they haven't done that with many people. Rikishi went in as Rikishi. He didn't go in also acknowledging fucking Fatu and Rikishi Fatu when he was
and the Sultan.
First. Oh, and the Sultan, yeah.
But did they open that door with Nash acknowledging the Oz thing?
Vinny Vegas.
Diesel, Vinny Vegas.
Super Shredder.
They acknowledged, he acknowledged it. They didn't acknowledge it in the video packages.
They had video of him doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Of course they have video of him, but they didn't, like, what I'm talking about, like, whenever they have the, like, packages, normally that sets the precedent of, like, how they're honoring him, and supposedly... What, Kevin, like, there were certain things that Kevin Nash talked about that they didn't like, and I did like the story that I read that Nash said he didn't want to go into Diesel. Like, he said no every time they would ask for Diesel, and they agreed on Nash, and one of the reasons he didn't want to go in as Diesel, which it makes perfect sense, is, you know, Diesel is known as being one of the lowest-rated champions, ratings-wise, in history.
Yeah, that was kind of WWE's lowest point.
Mm-hmm. Which I don't think it's Diesel's fault.
No,
it was all the talent around him.
That was Diesel got... I would have to see what the numbers were week for week, but they couldn't be any better for Brett. I mean, I love Brett, and it has nothing to do against him, but it was the crosshairs of a new era. That's when the new generation era was starting up. You had fucking Hogan leave.
Mm-hmm.
And then as soon as Yokozuna became champion again, and when Hogan was gone, like, that was just this whole new era. because we didn't have Hogan, we didn't have Warrior, we didn't have Macho Man, we didn't have Flair, we didn't have Sergeant Slaughter. Who else that was in a WWE championship match at WrestleMania between 1 and 9 that I did not mention? There's no Andre. All
right.
Andre wasn't dead. I think he died at the beginning of 2003. So all these people that were in these WrestleMania main events or championship matches, gone. Oh, and do we count Ted DiBiase? No, he was just in the tournament. No, was he the finals? Anyway. So we had we had Yokozuna, Bret Hart, Luger was in contention. I feel like we're in that era again, except we still have our Hogan in Cena, who's not necessarily trying to be in the main event all the time.
I think we've gotten past that era. I think we're going into more of late 90s now.
Late 90s is Attitude Era. I don't think they're going back.
No, the late 90s was the building of The Rock into The Rock, Austin into Austin.
We're mid-90s.
Yeah.
No, mid-90s. It wouldn't be late. 95 was the year Diesel was champ.
And Rock really started to come into everything. Well,
about 97, 96, 97.
Yeah, mid-late. Your 7 could be considered mid and could be also considered late, depending.
But really, we're just arguing semantics at this point, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he's using a big word.
But I look at Roman. I look at Roman Reigns as like the new Diesel.
I could see that.
Yeah, he's got that.
People bitch about
him.
People bitch about his build, and I go, "What's the difference between him and Nash?" And I loved Diesel back then.
Nash didn't have Daniel Bryan underneath him, or Dean Ambrose underneath him, or Seth Rollins underneath him, knocking at the door.
Yeah, Bret and Shawn.
Yeah, but they were already there. He was the new guy coming in.
He was a new guy coming in, but Bret Hart was a champion before him, so that would be the equivalent of Daniel Bryan. And you would have Seth Rollins, this would be before WrestleMania talking, but you would have Seth Rollins or Dean Ambrose being your Shawn Michaels.
Mm-hmm.
But neither one of them had ever been to that top mark, whereas they threw Roman Reigns into it. Now, granted, I like Roman Reigns. They put him in an unbelievably unwinnable spot.
Well, they put Diesel in a quick spot, too. He literally won, which they didn't really mention.
It was seven seconds.
But yeah, it was
face to face, kick, powerbomb, pin.
I believe they did show that video too.
And what people don't forget, what people don't remember is Survivor Series back then used to be Wednesday before Thanksgiving. I think that might have been one of the last years they did it.
Yeah.
And by Raw on Monday, he had lost the title. Because I was recently going back thinking, I'm like, I want to go back and watch the Raw that Bob Backlund was champion. Thinking that it was on a Sunday. Because I figured he won it. He's champion this one week on Raw, and then the next week we come back and it's Diesel. No. Between Thanksgiving and Raw, he lost the title. But what they did with Diesel, they made him Intercontinental, World, and Tag Team Champion within one calendar year. You get no faster build than that. When the only thing he did before that time in WWE was just be a bodyguard. A guy that stood in Shawn Michaels' corner or stood there during the Heartbreak Hotel with his glove in his hand and, I don't know, fisting it, however you want to call it. You know, right. Shane likes it.
Fuck you.
It's good to have friends.
But he had that year build, and no one complained about it. I think if the internet was around back then, but if it was as dominant as it is today, people would be shitting all over him.
Oh, yeah.
But people look through rose-colored glasses at that time and go, oh, no, they're not looking bad. Or maybe it's because they know how things played out, and they look at him as a champion now, and we're in this time period where we don't look at Roman Reigns like that. We'll give it a couple of years.
Yeah, but then again, if you go back there and the internet is what it is today, how many people would crap all over Bret Hart for being too bland or too small or, you know.
He would be a huge fan favorite of the IWC, him and Michaels both. Actually, Michaels might have gotten shit on. He did get shit on. I recently went back and watched the Lost My Smile speech. People were chanting Sid. I didn't remember that because I love Shawn Michaels.
I've never been a fan of Shawn Michaels or Bret Hart. Never.
I was love them more both. Bret Hart than I was Shawn. Shawn always came across as an ass to me, and I didn't like him.
Like, honestly, I got out of wrestling at that time because I was like, you know what I mean? I just couldn't get into it. I think back at that point, I was like a stunning Steve Austin, or right when he was starting to become Stone Cold. I was a big Austin fan back then. I still am today. Way before the what thing, when he had the blonde hair and all that shit. I was more of a WCW Austin guy.
I vaguely remembered his run in WCW.
I mean, it wasn't nothing to brag about, but it was good.
And then his transition to the WWE, the Ringmaster.
Yep.
And since, you know, I definitely wasn't on the internet at the time, I didn't read many wrestling magazines just because I didn't get a chance to buy a lot.
Yeah,
but I remember it took me a while to, like, put two and two together. I'm like, oh, yeah, that was Stunning Steve Austin in WCW.
Yeah, I think the only magazine I remember being around was the WWF magazines.
Well, I mean, I had those, but there was also sometimes I'd go to the right store.
Pro Wrestling and Illustrated.
They'd have Pro Wrestling Illustrated or a couple other ones.
I don't remember ever seeing any of those. I may have already, because I've transitioned away from wrestling and into regular sports.
They were all like pretty much black and white.
Mm-hmm.
Or she's not black and white. They'd always be black, white, and like the page would have like some other color to it.
Yep.
Like maybe a blue or a yellow. There might have been some colored pages, and that was normally what PWI was.
Yeah.
And then I remember, as things got better, especially in wrestling, I remember they had a very short-lived magazine called WOW, World of Wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And it was divided up into three sections, WCW, ECW, WWF.
I thought you were going to go somewhere else with WOW.
Women of Wrestling?
Yeah.
I used to love that show.
I remember GLOW, the Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling.
Yeah,
buddy. They were not gorgeous.
Hashtag give divas a chance.
They were gorgeous for the time.
Okay. I was also a kid, so.
I was more of a teenager.
Shane rather see half-naked men on TV.
You know what? Go fuck yourself, buddy.
I need to tweet him that kayfabe story about the homophobic guy.
I'm not homophobic. I have friends that are gay. I talk to students at work that are gay.
I got a question. Is the background on your phone one of the Seth Rollins tweet pictures?
No, it is Spawn, and the lock screen is a green ribbon for kidney disease awareness in honor of my mother.
It is actually a white sheet in the shape of a cone with eyes cut out.
And there's a T burning in the background. I don't know what that's about, but
lowercase T.
Lowercase T burning. I don't know.
Next time I'll use an uppercase to tell me my business. And then
yep.
When you open it up, it's a picture of Seth Rollins.
That's in his private photos. It's Dick Pic Guy.
I listened to the news. I was cracking up driving home listening to that.
Dick Pic Guy cashed in on penis chest. Now on to things that we really liked at WrestleMania, since we've already broke down all the shit we didn't.
Fucking Tank.
Dude, a fucking Tank. And Brock motherfucking Lesnar.
My God, he was such a beast.
I think that is the best thing they could have done for that, not the cash-in, but the actual match.
They beat
the piss out of each other.
How would you have rather seen that match end? Or the WrestleMania end, I'll say it in general, as open.
I couldn't have asked for anything better.
Yeah, I was not disappointed. I'm a Lesnar fan, so I was a little, you know, like, I wanted Brock to win, but a cash-in at WrestleMania that we've never seen before, I was totally 100% okay with that.
To me, this WrestleMania is not going to go down as, like, oh my God, the greatest WrestleMania ever. But I cannot think of a more satisfying WrestleMania ever. Everything was satisfying.
Oh, I had a glitch with my network. It went from the tag team match to I saw Daniel Bryan winning the IC title. I missed the whole Battle Royal and the whole IC match, and I've yet to see it. But other than that...
Yeah, that's a pretty big bug.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's like a 35-minute bug.
Yeah.
That's got to be more than that.
Yeah.
Because the Battle Royal and the ladder match.
Yeah,
I guess that was like an hour.
Yeah, that is an hour, ain't it? No, I wasn't all that impressed with the ladder match.
I haven't heard too many good things about it, but...
It was fine. It's not like it was one of the greatest ever.
There are moments that are going to stand out from it.
Oh.
I've heard one person say that they felt Dean Ambrose should have won because he was the star of the ladder match.
Yeah. That's not how it works.
Well, yeah, I was about to say, I'm going to mention one match to you. Tell me the first person that comes to mind. WrestleMania 10 ladder match, Shawn and Razor. First one that comes to mind.
First thing that comes to mind is that fucking spot that Michaels did, jumping off the, using the ladder to catapult himself.
Bingo.
Yeah.
When you think that ladder match, that is literally the number, like, I mean, that's been trained in our minds one way, I don't know how.
Oh.
But when you think that WrestleMania, that's immediately the spot you think of. And he lost.
The other thing I remember is Shawn Michaels doing it was Razor doing the little dance underneath the ladder.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty fucking cool, too.
Yeah, because I think Shawn came out first, act like he was going to go under, says, no,
yeah,
no, no, no,
no. No, 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 went around it, yeah.
And then Razor came out kind of like, ha-ha, I'm going to play it.
Did the Dikembe Mutombo finger, no, no, no.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that.
But
yeah, it did exactly what it should have done. It made Dean Ambrose look awesome, and it gave Daniel Bryan the belt to elevate the belt. Perfect.
A lot of people, I mean, take the wins and losses so seriously in wrestling, but sometimes it's not exactly about winning or losing. Sometimes it is, whether it's you're winning a championship or whether you're losing how you lose or certain things. But sometimes there could be lasting moments that just people won't remember who won or lost. They'll remember the fact that Shawn Michaels jumped off the ladder the way he did, even though he lost that match. And nobody can probably tell me a spot from their rematch at SummerSlam 95.
Well, I just...
Which was also a ladder match.
I just had something in mind and I done forgot it.
The only thing I remember about the rematch of Shawn Razor, SummerSlam 95... I think that's the one Razor won. I mean, the one that Shawn won. Because I think it was like the next night on Raw, Shawn Michaels had a match. He was cutting like this really small backstage promo. And then at the end of it, he turns to his right and goes to walk off the screen on the left. And there's like a ladder in his way. And he kind of goes, ugh!
No, to me, it's always about the story surrounding it. It doesn't matter who wins and loses. It's the story they tell about it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That's like what Brock's a perfect example. Him losing that belt doesn't really matter. It's what he did afterward that matters.
Yeah, yeah, that shit on Raw was amazing.
Freaking loved it. R.I.P. Michael Cole's shoe.
Yeah.
But there's two ways I would rather have seen WrestleMania end. One was one of my immediate thoughts when Brock Lesnar was signed. Have Brock Lesnar win. And just have people wondering what the fuck next. Don't have the cash in.
Right.
Just Brock Lesnar wins, now it's going to happen. And then maybe have the cash in on Raw.
I was going to say, then you still got, if you don't have him cash in at Mania, what's the next time Brock's going to be in a vulnerable spot?
Yeah.
Because he's probably not going to work Extreme Rules, which means he's probably not wrestling again until SummerSlam.
Yeah.
The money
well, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Even, and also if they didn't announce it on ESPN, which I understand why they did, and it makes total sense.
Yeah, you don't get ESPN coverage very often.
Yeah, but no, actually, ESPN and WWE have been teaming up
a little.
A lot.
These bits and pieces.
The E60 that they're doing, that they did like a lot of coverage during WrestleMania. The next day after WrestleMania, they were covering it. And
yeah,
it's kind of something. But anyway, it's beyond the point. I understand why they did it, but if they would have kept it a total secret, could you imagine the reaction, the surprise reaction, if Brock Lesnar would have just won out and walked out of WrestleMania the champion? Because that would have been like,
wait, what?
How is that going to happen? Yeah, it would have been the exact way I felt when I don't remember exactly when it was, but there was some moment when like Raw had both titles.
Was that when Punk was walked
out? It's when Punk cashed out. No, that's much later.
Yeah.
It's when he cashed in the first time. Because I remember thinking, like, how is this going to work? Fucking Raw has both titles. And I never really thought about the Money in the Bank. And then the beginning of Raw, he cashes in.
I don't know.
It's just one of those things that it makes you go, what?
They may have been afraid of WrestleMania's 20's reaction to Brock again. And I think that might be why they went ahead and announced it. Because if you remember badly the crowd reacted to those two.
Oh, yeah. That was
awesome. Wow, that was bad.
But the crowd reacted bad, I understand. But I'm talking about the reaction after the match. The guy you were expecting to lose because he was leaving the company, all of a sudden won. It's actually the equivalent to CM Punk.
See, I was thinking Brock beating Taker, just not quite that extreme.
Right.
The other way I would like to see WrestleMania end was the match play out almost like it did, but then have Roman Reigns somehow pull out the victory in the middle of the celebration, Seth Rollins comes out.
Yeah, they could have done it that way. I mean, there's a lot of ways they could have done it. He could have come out, you know, fucking curb stomp Reigns while he was down, then cashed in to make it a one-on-one, you know, to disqualify Reigns, and then, you know, cashed in on just Brock. That probably would have been a little better, you know what I mean? That way you're actually pinning the champ, but it doesn't really matter. It's the story around it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, I mean, I'm not going to debate, like, what they did. As soon as Seth Rollins' music hit, you had two unprecedented moments happen at once.
Me jumping was one.
Seth Rollins casting, or Money in the Bank cashing in at WrestleMania, and a Money in the Bank cashing in the middle of a match. Yeah. Two things we had yet to have. And that's a good thing, because there's so many ways, different ways I think you can book the Money in the Bank, but if you take the ones that we already know and you play them, like there was the original of cashing in post-match, and then there's calling your shot. You want the post-match or those vulnerable spots kind of for heels or maybe people who are just chomping at the bit to win the championship. And the called shot is just kind of seems the honorable way. But it's when you're able to find that one where it's, I'm going to do this in the middle of a match.
Yeah, you don't get that too often.
Mm-hmm.
I really can't believe it's never been done before.
I think they were waiting on the right time. The right time, right person, right, yeah. That seemed to work.
And Seth Rollins on, I think it was Good Morning America, looked pretty goddamn good with that belt.
That belt looks goddamn good, period. I didn't like the belt when it first came out of the old design, but it's, that old WWE logo was just outdated.
Yeah.
It made everything, a lot of stuff with it on, just kind of look like shit. And when they put it on that belt, on that design, it just kind of looked meh, because it was that scratch logo. But then when they changed it, and they put it where it's just this big WWE logo, the new logo,
yeah,
I think it looks awesome.
Yeah, it looks, at first I didn't like it, but I'm a fan of it.
Yeah, definitely. I'm definitely growing to like it a lot.
And this, I don't know whether there is a difference, but this new belt looks bigger. It could be because the way the one with the scratch logo, it had the WWE and then it said champion below it. This one is the big, bold logo, and then in small trim around it, it says, like, World Wrestling Entertainment Champion
right
at the bottom. So it's just the logo is bigger, but I don't know if the belt's bigger. It just kind of seems like it, too. And we also had the benefit of it got revealed after SummerSlam, and we've only seen it a couple of times since then. And now we're going to have a champion who's going to have it every week. Obviously, it kind of made that did make the belt a little bit more prestigious.
Yeah, and the nice thing about the way it's all set up now, you've got John Cena and Daniel Bryan. You're not going to be able to overshadow them like you did when Curtis Axel was the IC champ. He was right. Overshadowed by everything else on the roster. Daniel Bryan and Cena are not going to get overshadowed.
Mm-hmm.
And did you see the update that they're talking about a new U.S. title?
I hope so. I don't like that. I've never liked that logo.
Would you rather the spinner?
No, I'd rather have it go back to the old WCW looking one. I like that one.
That's not going to happen.
No, they're not going to keep like rehashing belts. I mean, ever since they rehashed the IC title, I've heard a lot of people say, like, we should bring back this title of an old set. Like, people have said, we should bring back the women's title forever. And now that Lunder Blaze has brought back the women's wrestling one, the original, or not the original, the one that she had, that has now been talked about. Oh, they should bring that one back.
I don't necessarily want them to change the belt. Just quit calling them divas and start calling them women's wrestlers.
Yeah, that would make it more serious.
It's a brand thing.
I know. It doesn't mean I have to like it.
The way I look at it, too, look at it's called the Knockouts.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but the Knockouts have multiple, meanings. You know what I'm saying? They're Knockouts looking, they knock people out. A diva is a fucking diva.
But, yeah, they're playing on that double meaning. But when you think of a female, a chick, you're like, man, that chick's a knockout.
Then you see
what do you think I mean? if I... If I say like that chick is a knockout, you're thinking like a hot ass chick.
Mm-hmm.
You're not thinking Ronda Rousey.
No.
Shuffle.
And actually, you guys shit on her, but I think she's actually pretty good looking. But
you'd probably shit on her too if she asked you.
If she did, no, I would be afraid not to. You saw what she did to Triple H, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was pretty effortlessly. What do you think she's going to do with me with no skills?
I will say that spot went a little too long for me, but the payoff was pretty cool.
And me and my buddies were talking about while we were watching, I was like, dude, they have to be stalling. They have to be stalling for the sun to go down. That's the only reason that went that long.
When I was watching that segment, as soon as Rock went out of the ring and he started to go towards the barricade, I immediately went, he's going to get fucking Rousey.
I didn't know she was there. I didn't.
They briefly showed her.
I know, but it didn't register with me. So when it panned there and I saw one of her little stablemates, I was like, oh, shit.
And I'm going to say this, and this is going to be unpopular, especially with Mop here. I get it. You guys want the guy from Arrow to be on Raw.
Stephen Amell.
Whatever his fucking name is. I will forever stand by. They need Gabriel Iglesias on Raw. And that guy has been to fucking countless WrestleManias.
Yes, the fucking guy.
And they have, and I think Raw too, they have never, fucking never went, we have Gabriel Iglesias in the crowd. One of the top comedians. And he's fairly clean. I don't think he really cusses.
Yeah, he's super dirty. Not his act is not super dirty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, now he himself gets dirty, but I don't think his act is dirty. And you expect me to argue, but I agree with you.
But what I'm saying is, like, I think he deserves it for the guy from Arrow.
I don't know about before it. I think they both should be doing it and stop doing, what was the two bitches they had from whatever show that was?
Kathy Lee and Hoda.
Yeah, whatever the hoe was.
Yeah. Oh. My ex was on the show, so yeah, I know who the fuck it is.
I remember that.
Yeah. Moving on. But get some of these. I mean, they get people on there for, like, cross-promotion. Like, there's certain people I understand why. That's why you get Florida Georgia Line, because I think there's a demographic that does like them. You get some of the music acts, because there's some people that like them. But I've never understood why they've never acknowledged Gabriel Iglesias. Fluffy. Because, I've seen many times where he would post pictures that he was at WrestleMania, or he was, you know, at Raw, and I'm like, why the fuck did they not pan to you? Like, what I'm saying, not saying, even be a guest star, but I'm saying, like, they've never just pointed the camera at him in the audience. And, like, he waves and, like, hi, I'm with my family. Hey, I love it. This is awesome.
I
no longer weigh 400 pounds.
Yeah. The Raw right before Mania, the go-home show, Paul Stanley was sitting almost on JBL's shoulder. He was on camera a couple times, but they never acknowledged him. I don't know if that's by choice or if they asked him if he wanted to be recognized. Maybe he said no. It looked like he was there with his kid. So I don't know what the criteria is for that.
Yeah. It could go either way, too. Either he doesn't want to be recognized or they don't want to recognize him, but I'd be that for Gabriel, because I figure they want to recognize Paul Stanley.
You would think so, because as big a star as he is, but maybe he asked not to, because it looked like he was there with his kid.
Yeah, maybe.
And it could be the same with Gabriel Iglesias. Maybe he asked not to be acknowledged.
I don't know. He's a huge, huge fan.
Yeah, I've heard he's been on with Austin a couple times talking about it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. On with Austin. I just finally watched the Fluffy movie. And they had obviously it wasn't him, but they had like a flashback of like a quote story from when he was a kid, and they had him wearing a Hot Rod shirt.
Yeah, I agree. Both of those guys should get a chance to do that.
Where did we trail off from that?
I think we started at Rousey and
went from there.
We talked about how great Ronda Rousey was, but
yeah, sure.
Yeah, you don't like her, but I thought it was fucking epic.
I believe I do not like her. Granted, that moment did give me chills, like, as soon as they panned her up, and granted, I knew, like, alright, this is fucking, this is gonna be Rousey when they turn on, like, that still kind of gave me some chills.
I really can't believe they did it, though. I mean, just think about that. I mean...
And how fast did it take UFC to say, that was a one-time,
a one-day contract, but still, though, I mean, that's a pretty big fucking deal.
The funny thing is, I think I mentioned this on WrestleCast. There was a very similar spot, obviously not involving The Rock, but they were going to do something very similar with Jessica at TLC. Of course, this is what she told me at TLC when I was in Cleveland. Because she actually told me she was going to get me some, she was going to look into, like, get me tickets, because she was going to do this spot. I'm like, oh, that would be awesome if you can do that. I mean, like, no pressure, but if you can, awesome. If you can't, whatever. And she had said, like, yeah, like, I'm going to be, like, she said it was going to be, like, she was going to do this thing with Lawler. And I'm like, okay. But, like, nothing ever happened. And I don't, but that was right, she told me before CM Punk announced he was going to UFC. And then I was kind of like, yeah, they might be backpedaling from UFC for just a little while.
And you never know what the backstage shit was, because it's just like the ladder match. But according to what Bret Hart says, he's the one that came up with the idea and was brought it to them. And they said, oh, yeah, that's a great idea. Hey, Sean and Razor. So you never know.
Well, Sean and Bret actually had the first ladder match.
I thought it was Sean and Razor, but that was the first one.
No. It was Bret's idea. McMahon was very questionable about it. So they had like a test match at a house show, or it was a TV taping, and it was like a dark match, but they still recorded it. And then they took the video to Vince. Vince liked it. And then he had it for the WrestleMania match.
Yeah. Or,
you can find video of it, but I remember when I was a kid, I'd seen it on a special home video exclusive VHS, and then I'd swear it might be on a DVD somewhere. But I know they talked about it. It's on the Bret vs. Shawn DVD, which is pretty good.
Or the fact that Jericho came up with the Money in the Bank idea and has never actually won it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you never know what the politics backstage is. And I mean, Rousey's the biggest star in UFC right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how do you top that?
All right, well, that's a WrestleMania moment, and Jess was going to be at her home, not really hometown, but like, she's going to be in Cleveland, she's from the area, hometown girl, UFC, local celebrity, I guess probably sit in front row, do something with Lawler. Like, it would make sense because of where they were at. It would be the equivalent of having the Pittsburgh Steelers front row in Pittsburgh,
right,
and then doing something with them.
Other than all the bench players standing up saying, hey, here's the Steelers.
Oh, no. But Roethlisberger always goes there. He always has to go visit his brother, Curtis.
They do look the same.
Mm-hmm.
Are you talking about my Curtis Axel?
Mm-hmm. Dude, he looks like fucking Roethlisberger. Dude, he looks like Roethlisberger. They have taken pictures together.
How dare you? How dare you compare my Curtis Axel to the
Curtis
rapist Axel? Ben Roethlisberger?
We need to get a Ben Roethlisberger the Daniel Bryan no shirt.
He doesn't know the meaning of that word.
He would just see the Daniel Bryan yes shirt, so.
But she didn't say no. What else did we like about Mania? Because really, I mean, honestly, it was a very, very good show. I was very
fucking
satisfied
tank.
With everything.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking tank.
I'm probably going to say that a lot.
Yeah.
The match
That's
was
pretty
okay.
much the memory.
The match was pretty decent for those two, but the fucking tank.
I was satisfied with it. I think it got...
What about Cena's entrance? America.
Yeah, it was America.
I was surprised they didn't do more. I think they kind of screwed up in the middle. I think Lana was supposed to hit him with the shoe or something, and it kind of got messed up, but it was fine. I mean, it wasn't awful.
And that Orton RKO spot with Rollins was amazing.
I went back and rewatched that match. That match is actually really good.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people shit on it, and I'm like, I don't get what you're talking about. It was a good match.
Well, you come off the excitement of the ladder match, and before that was the Battle Royal, and you know, and then what'd you go into after that? Was that the Rusev entrance right afterward?
I think so.
But yeah, that match was really good. I like Orton at this point. As long as he stays interested, I'm all for him.
On a side note, there was a tweet from Alex Riley earlier that I want to read.
Rage?
No, that one. It's,
Say it to my face.
I think it might be from where he's from, what he was meaning by it. But it's obviously a reference into something else. He wrote, I just got 4-3-15 tattooed on my neck. I think he might be from Duke or Wisconsin. He has to be from one of the teams that won from.
Yeah, but that was on 4-4.
Is it on 4-4?
Yeah.
And that sums up that.
It's 4-4?
Why would he, did he get married on the 3rd? Yeah.
Maybe that's because,
Was it a shot at AJ?
It has. Maybe it's because that's when she quit. I didn't put two and two together.
Before that. It was already announced on Wednesday or Thursday that she quit.
No, it was announced yesterday.
Friday's the date.
It was announced yesterday.
I got an update. Bleacher Report. Yeah, maybe it was Friday. That would
days
be.
Days mixed up?
Yeah. I've been working days for the last week, so my days are all fucked up.
Yeah, it was yesterday.
Mm-hmm. So maybe, yeah, maybe that was a shot at her. Which is that's kind of a low blow. I mean, you're Alex fucking Riley. Shut the fuck up.
They might have beef.
What,
he had his beef.
I don't know.
Really? It's Alex fucking Riley. Really? Yeah.
Don't like Alex Riley?
He's fine for lower mid-card.
You should say it to his face.
I'd be happy to if I ever saw him.
I will say he's got himself put together pretty good.
Yeah, he does definitely look a lot better. Like, I sent a tweet to Table. Is he like the poster child for an extended stay of developmental?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just he is so much better than he was initially, but he looks a lot like Zack Ryder. Dude, there's their next
woo,
tag
woo,
team.
Woo, woo, say it to my face.
Who's your next tag team champ?
Oh, God.
I still like Ryder.
I do, too. They wasted so much money on that.
Like, what do you mean?
Well, I mean, essentially, at the height of his popularity, he just disappeared. After they made him look like a little bitch with the Eve storyline thing,
mm-hmm.
he just disappeared. Still, I mean, how long was it that we read reports that he was still in the top five merchandise sellers and
yeah.
hadn't been on TV for like 2 months? It's, I don't know. You could have made a whole lot more money off of him.
Yep.
He was Daniel Bryant before Daniel Bryant.
Yeah, pretty much. But the only thing about Zack Ryder is like, he had limited potential.
Oh, he definitely had, like, in terms of main event potential, but not story potential. There's plenty of story there. Hell, you could have incorporated that internet title that he created and made that something of a thing. But why would you want to make money? Oh, wait, that's right. You had Kali. Kali was more important than Zack Ryder.
Of course it was.
What do you think if they were to send Ryder down to NXT, do you think he would benefit? Do you think NXT would benefit from that?
Yes and yes.
I don't think he would really benefit.
I don't think he would either. I think he's pretty much where he's going to be. But would he help NXT?
I think he would benefit from a morale point, but it's just he would have the Emma, Adam Rose reaction where it's, this is great in NXT, but you put him on the main roster, and it might not be the same.
Yeah, but Zach,
though I've heard Zack Ryder still gets pops.
Oh, dude, the guy is still over all this time. How many people woo-woo-wooed when he did his kick-to-the-face thing during that go-home show 8-man, 10-man tag? Dude, it's like half the crowd was still doing it. Fucker ain't been on TV in months. The difference between Emma and Adam Rose and Zack Ryder is Zack Ryder's done it before. He's gotten over like that before.
The thing that I like on a kind of a side note, side tangent, I feel like the NXT talent is more fan interactive.
Yeah, much more.
Than anybody on the main roster.
You say that.
Than most on the main roster.
I was going to say, you look at Randy Orton, Rollins.
Yeah.
Ambrose is pretty good about it. Cena's pretty good at it, but that's kind of
it. Cena's not that good at it.
He's good at reacting with the crowd. He totally is.
No. I'm not talking
with the crowd, I should say.
No, I'm not talking that fan interaction.
What are you talking
about? I'm talking social media.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, I was going with the live crowd, interacting with the live crowd.
Mm-hmm. Talking the actual fan interaction, like on Twitter.
Well, yeah, that's because
Twitter, or anything like that.
Because these people, I mean, it seems like the bigger stories you get, the more guarded you get about what you say and do.
I talked to Jack Swagger on Twitter. Goldust called me an asshole.
Did Goldust block you?
No, he didn't. Believe it or not, he just called
Goldust
me an asshole.
Goldust is his own thing.
No. But I feel like everybody from NXT just like I don't care that much for him, but I try to follow a lot of people from NXT when I thought I was going to go, is I followed Simon Gotch. He's been doing this, like, ask Gotch thing for, like, a couple days, and there's times where I look on my feed and it's just him replying to people.
That's pretty cool, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's in, like, that shows the interaction. Sadly, if you post,
that's the future.
There's a lot of wrestlers in NXT who, if you buy their shirt and like post a picture, they'll have some sort of interaction with you. Not like not like they're advertising, but that's like guaranteed.
So since AJ won Bayley's shirt out on TV, what interaction does that mean?
They're quote best friends.
I'm hoping for some little HLA.
We'll talk about AJ later.
No, HLA.
Well, we got to talk about AJ too.
I know, but we'll talk about AJ later.
Yes, see you later.
But yeah, like when I bought that last amount of shirts, I got response, like when I posted a picture on Twitter of all of them, one by one, and mentioned whatever wrestler I was wearing their shirt. And everybody from NXT, there was some sort of interaction. Like Kevin Owens favorited it. Enzo favorited the tweet with the soft shirt. Charlotte does I've noticed this is what she does to anybody. If like you tweet her a picture of you wearing her shirt, she'll like quote tweet it and then put some emojis as her response.
Nice. But then you've got guys like Bray that pretty much, I don't think he even has a Twitter account.
Yeah, he does.
I think he does, but I don't think he really uses it. Mm-hmm. Eric Rowan has one, doesn't really use it. Because I figured if like he was active on it, when I sent the picture of me in the sheet mask, I'd get something back. I don't even care if it was just a favorite.
And I wonder if it's something that they're, like a class that they have to take now in NXT.
I don't know if it's just a class. It's a smart recommendation.
Oh, it really is. But a lot of the people you're talking about are good with fan interaction anyway. Enzo is great with it. Kevin Owens is good with it. Charlotte's pretty good with it.
Well, one that I'll always say is, in my opinion, by far the best on the social media stuff. Well, okay, maybe not the best, but it's... stands out, and yes, I'm biased, is Natalia. Like, first, I got followed by her years ago, and that shocked me. Something that wrestlers don't have to do, but there's amount of celebrities, wrestlers, that sometimes they do it just for... to kind of, like, help get their name out more.
Right.
They might not read anything you tweet, but they somehow do it. Like, I was followed early on Twitter by Gabriel Iglesias. And I thought that was crazy. And it's because, like, I mentioned him in a tweet, and I think it just, he follows a lot of his fans. I'm also followed by Clef Compton.
Yeah, I am too.
Yeah, he follows fucking everybody.
He follows everybody because he's trying to sell you a shirt.
I'm followed by Tim Donst.
I am now unblocked by Tim Donst.
Oh, that's a good thing.
And I'm unblocked by Crimson.
There you go.
Is there no Fat Shredder versus Crimson match?
Well, it still might happen.
What was the news with him? Did he, like, sign with WWE or something?
Not that I know of. I know he had a tryout. We're rumored that he had a tryout.
Was it a tryout? I remember there was some news with him involved.
Yeah, it was just a tryout.
But anyway, like I was saying, you, like, Natalya does that, and she's always interactive with fans. In fact, that to get out the word for her shirt, like, the first couple months it was out, if you bought it, she would ask for your address, and then she would send you a free autographed picture.
Oh, I thought he was going to go with she'd come and give you a reach around.
I don't love that.
She doesn't want to look at you in the face, so it would have to be a reach around.
Mm-hmm. But, she does a lot of that. Zack Ryder is, I would say Zack Ryder was even before that, because Zack Ryder said... same thing, if you buy his very first t-shirt, which it sucked because they only went up to 1X, fuck you, that he would send you a...
oh, God, what was it? I do remember
It was either, was it autograph picture or autograph, I think it was an autograph card.
I think that's what it was, I can't remember.
I think it was a card because I thought I remember him or somebody saying that there's like a protective gloss where it's hard to like sign, so he had to like take an eraser to it. You take eraser, like, erases some of the gloss, and you can, like, sign on it. I think it was him.
So, what we're saying is Zack Ryder is the godfather of WWE social media.
Pretty much. Oh, yeah, well, it was because of him they got a YouTube channel.
Okay, I have a question for you on the Zack Ryder front. Hall of Fame or not?
No.
You say no, but look at all everything he's done to progress WWE in the right direction.
He would have to be... under the category of Coco Beware. Not because like he didn't amount to anything. He needs to be a guy that just stays there a long time and still does work, still does this, still does that. So by the time like they go to put him in, it's just like we're putting him in for loyalty.
Even with everything he's done behind the scenes.
Oh, you'd have that too. But I'm saying,
well, hell, then why isn't the Brooklyn Brawler in with everything he does behind the scenes?
I think he's an eventual.
I think he is, and I think Jim Johnson is eventually, and I think that's going to open the door for a guy like Zack Ryder.
The day they have Jim Johnson, and I'll fucking mark out.
Oh, yeah. It's got to happen, though, doesn't it?
I will mark out almost as much as I did when Connor got inducted.
All right, that was cool.
Ooh, yeah. Speaking of Connor, what the fuck are they going to do next year? I mean, whoever is next for the Warrior Award is going to be a major step down from Connor.
Yeah. I mean, unless you're going to do, like, and I'm not saying this bad, so if anybody gets offended, I apologize in advance. Maybe like a Make-A-Wish kid, you know what I mean?
It seems like what they do for the Make-A-Wish kids in general is they all get inducted into the Circle of Champions.
Right.
I had seen a thing where Cena talked about it, and there's a picture that they show on the video package where they finally announce that Connor the Crusher is getting it, because, you know, they do the whole, like, background of the Warrior Award, and they're like, and the first inductee and recipient of the Warrior Award is, as soon as they go, Connor Mahalik, it's a picture of Connor with John Cena, and he's holding this plaque with the WWE title on it. They gave out the same ones this year, but updated belt, but, like, Cena talked about, like, giving out these awards for people, for these kids to be inducted into the, quote, Circle of Champions.
Right.
Or, and how big it is, not big it is for WWE, but, like, you know, how good it makes them feel.
Yeah.
Do you think they transition the Warrior Award to being more of a Jim Johnson, what's his name, Kevin Dunn when he retires? You know, the guys that aren't in-ring performers.
Could be.
I mean, I don't know. Just a thought.
Yeah. Just Jim Johnson.
Dude, where the fuck did we even start off on this?
I don't remember, dude.
I know we're talking about Mania, but it might have been Orton and Rollins.
What? When did we talk about Orton and Rollins?
I randomly brought up the RKO and how good of a match it was.
And we diverged into something else. Do we want to talk about Bray and Taker?
Yes.
I mean, I knew it wasn't going to be much of a match, but the spectacle of it would have been a million times better in the dark.
Oh, definitely. I think this match is going to be the equivalent of what I mentioned with the ladder match. When you think this match, what I think is that moment where Bray does the crab walk, and then Undertaker sits up.
Oh, my God, that was so awesome.
It was cool.
It doesn't matter what happened before it or after it. That will be forever what I remember.
That and how awesome Bray's promos were leading into it.
Yeah, I was kind of tired of the promos.
Well, I mean, it droned on a little bit, but the first, three of them were really awesome. And then he just kind of had to fill time because, I mean, essentially, Bray Wyatt built a fucking feud by himself.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, that's amazing.
Especially with a guy like The Undertaker.
I think that pretty much covers Mania, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
I didn't get to watch the tag match or the battle royal.
Tag match was just insane. Fucking insane.
It wound up being a clusterfuck. What ended up happening?
Yeah, the referee didn't even know what the fuck was going on.
Yeah, there's too many people, too many spots going on. It just, but I mean, it wasn't bad. It was fun to watch.
Yeah.
It was just hard to follow. And I mean, the battle royal was pretty much what you thought it was.
Yeah.
You know, it was the memorable spot's going to be Sandow throwing the Miz out, or Axelmania getting pitched out from 10 feet above above the ring at the very beginning. But I mean, it's just the battle royal.
I'm just happy Mizdow didn't win.
Yeah, that wouldn't have made much sense for him to be able to throw the Big Show out.
Or not even that. It's just a lot of people were saying, "Oh, I think it's going to be Mizdow because of this and this." I'm like, there were literally too many people saying Mizdow for me to think that it was going to happen. I'm like, yeah, they want you to think Mizdow, then something else is happening.
No, I never thought Mizdow.
Yeah,
just because I knew what they were leading to, and that was the Mizdow-Miz storyline. Well, if they're the storyline, he's not going to win.
So are we going to have that match at Extreme Rules, probably?
Probably. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then we talk about the ladder match, talk about the beta vet. Rusev.
Tank.
Dang.
I actually think we did get them all.
The Divas match, but I don't really know what happened.
That's decent.
Skylar Grey being at her third WrestleMania.
No big fucking deal. I hate that song.
Oh, dude, I love that song. I don't know who Kid Ink was, but he was there. His song didn't bother me. You know what I mean? I might actually give it a listen to hear what it actually sounds like, but it is what it is.
Before we get into Raw, or maybe just
before,
random.
Before we take it Raw?
What? Yeah, before Shane takes it Raw.
You guys are assholes.
That's where you take it Raw.
Fuck you.
Do you promise?
God damn it.
Yeah, anyway. Let's talk about AJ.
See ya.
Bye.
Yeah, I mean, what can you say? I mean, we knew what was coming because, you know, she married a guy that quit, and his opinion matters to her, obviously. He's got bigger things coming up with the UFC. She needs to be there. She wasn't going to hang around much more.
I think, I kind of got someone trying to shit on me because someone was just kind of like, they went in a totally different direction, but I think the last year of WWE for her, she was worthless. For multiple reasons. A, she took a lot of time off.
Mm-hmm.
Part of it was because of injury, quote unquote. And then there was everything that happened with, like, her wedding. And, you know, there was times that she didn't go do, like, house shows because of everything with Punk. Because, like, you know, when they announced her him going to UFC. And what else? I think she did do a limited house show appearances. Like, I think she did some, but I don't think she did a lot. So it just seemed like, in that sense, she was worthless. And there's also the fact of she marries a guy.
Yeah, that hurt.
She marries a guy that left the company she worked for on bad terms. She was kind of being put in a pickle where, you know, the guy that she lives with, is married with, is not necessarily on good terms with her bosses. Yeah, her place of employment. There's also a third option that people aren't really talking about much. I've kind of read rumor leading towards it, but it was also another option that I thought of, or reason I thought of. She isn't very old. I'm 29. I think she's like 27. Maybe she's older than me. She's roughly my age. Let's keep it at that. There's also the fact of probably wanting to start a family. That is one of the disadvantages of female wrestlers.
Right.
Obviously, since you are the one who carries the baby, there's a period of time where you can't work. But a male wrestler could easily knock up his woman, his girlfriend, his mistress, his wife, whatever, and then just visit on weekends.
I actually think Natty addressed that Divas one episode where she talked about foregoing a family for wrestling.
Yeah. So there's, I mean, there's some, like, because Natalia, she's got to be in her mid to late 30s.
Still not too late, but...
Not too late, but it's... You probably wanted to. She probably should have had it early 30s, late 20s.
Let's just say that clock's a ticking.
Mm-hmm. So I also understand for that reason why AJ Lee would want to retire. Kind of like, I've made my money. My husband's made his money. We're together. We're happy. It sounds like Punk and AJ are minimalists. They're going to also find ways to bring in money outside of WWE, or outside of wrestling, I should say.
Maybe she's just burnt out, too.
Yeah, there could be, definitely a burnout factor.
How long was she champion? Was it over a year?
Close to it. Another thing with her that always got me was she was the only diva, that didn't want to be on Total Divas.
She don't consider herself a diva, even though she wrestles for the Divas division.
I don't think that's true, but if it would be, that would be such bullshit. It's like, well, I don't feel like I'm a diva. Well, Paige called herself the anti-diva, but she's still on fucking Total Divas.
Right.
I just don't think her I think her, and that's why her and Punk get along so well, that's her personality. She doesn't like... She has a private life and wants to keep it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, could you think about that? If AJ was on Total Divas and Punk quit...
Yeah, how are you going to do that?
Oh, my God.
I'm just picturing a black bar over his face.
The Christian blue dot.
Yeah.
she becomes a big old... he becomes a big old blur every time he's in the room. What was it about AJ that we mentioned earlier?
Good riddance.
Oh, Bailey.
Bailey.
Yeah, hug her.
That shit on Raw pissed me off.
Her wearing the t-shirt?
Yes. Because she used it, it had been this, very similar to somebody on the main roster wearing just someone in NXT's shirt.
I think they've done that before, haven't they?
Who?
I'm trying to remember, but I remember there being male wrestler do that.
The last one that I remember that did it was Edge wearing a Sami Zayn shirt, but he's not a wrestler. Not anymore.
Well, Punk did it.
Did Punk wear
He wore an Austin shirt and he wore a Cesaro shirt.
But he did a lot of that stuff, like, not, like, on TV. Or not on, like, Raw or SmackDown. He did, like I'm in a press conference. Like, actually, he did a press conference. I've seen him. He did one WrestleMania. He wore he's worn a couple Colt Cabana shirts to press conferences, and then he wore a Cesaro shirt another time, too.
Yeah.
That red one,
mm-hmm.
which I still want. But no, like, for her wearing it, I think it was also the fact of it being that Raw crowd, and you're feeding them.
Yeah,
It would have been just as bad if someone wore Sami Zayn's shirt. You're giving them false hope, and then immediately they chanted, "We want Bailey." Why would you do that, especially when this vision's trying to be taken seriously, and you're taking focus off the match that's in the ring to somebody who's not going to be on the card?
Because she's taking cues from CM Punk.
Because she's taking cues from someone who's trying to get her friend over. Because this is not the first time. She fucking mentioned Bailey in her Diva of the Year speech. And because of it, I hope Bailey doesn't debut until next year. Because she tried to say, like, remember during when she won, I was like, oh, maybe all these people, like, these are, like, all the people that could win Divas of the Year next year. Maybe be Paige or this or Bailey. Why would you mention Bailey?
Yeah, Bailey, if she comes up, is going to be like Santino.
Like, yeah. Emma.
No, maybe they might actually do Bailey right instead of giving her a pink sock.
Shane likes pink socks.
Fucking gross, man.
Shane likes those protruding assholes.
No.
So he has a pink sock.
I don't think I do.
You don't think you do?
Maybe no, I don't. Nope.
You keep shoving them cucumbers up, and that's what's going to happen.
I'll fuck.
Practice safe sex.
Fuck off.
I can get the crap on my side now.
What?
Making fun of you.
Good, I hope I hurt you, dickhead.
No, you didn't hurt my dickhead.
Not what I said.
Is there anything wrestling related we should talk about?
The future tag team champions of the world, the Lucha Dragons.
Was that like, are they officially on the roster, or was that just for like Monday Night Raw after Mania?
I thought that was it's official.
I don't know. I'm thinking it's official.
Well, fucking Sin Cara is still on, is considered on the roster.
Yeah, but Kalisto was not. Right. This is the first time they've mentioned the Lucha Dragons on WWE TV.
I like the Lucha Dragons.
Well, this is also this is the first time they've been on Raw, because didn't they do some main event and shit like that?
Yeah, I think Kalisto had been on main event and stuff, but those don't count. We don't see those.
Yeah. I'm not counting those. But I'm saying, like, this is the first time they'd also, you'd had someone from NXT on when it's not an NXT event coming up. Because, like, they had Charlotte on. And I know a lot of people should. Why would you have Natalya win?
You don't have one of your developmental talents beat one of your main roster talents.
On the main roster, because technically they did have her.
Yeah.
They did have fucking Charlotte beat her in NXT.
And they made an absolute huge deal out of it.
But that was great. You make a huge deal out of it on NXT.
Right. You can't do that on the main roster.
Mm-hmm.
Although Adrian Neville just squashed my boy Axelmania.
Yes.
No, Neville.
I'm sorry, Neville.
Okay.
And I don't have a problem. It's easier to chant Neville than it is Adrian Neville.
New Adrian.
Yeah. But no, it's all about branding, dude. It's easy to remember one name than it is two.
Okay, so if, let's say Sami Zayn gets called up, are they going to call him Sammy or Zayn?
Probably call him Sami Zayn, because neither name fits right. Or change his name entirely and make him Joe Blow. Honestly, I think if they bring him up, sadly, they'll probably use his Middle Eastern background and come up with some Middle Eastern name for him.
So Kevin Owens will be either Kevin or Owens?
or just KO. They may keep the KO because of the branding of KO.
I think he might be Kevin Owens.
That's what I mean.
That has a name that just sounds just, it's like Seth Rollins.
Right.
But they're not calling, well, I mean, some people call him Rollins, but he's not going to just Rollins. It's not just Reigns.
And this may not be what they stick with for Adrian Neville either. They may add the Adrian name. They may take it away. They may change it a little. They're still playing with it.
Like, I could see Finn Balor being just called Balor. I mean, that kind of makes sense.
See, I would think they'd go with the Finn part. It's easier to chant. Like, Hideo would just be Hideo.
Right.
Although, were you surprised to see that he was in the Battle Royal but wasn't on Raw?
Yeah, that was...
No, didn't surprise me.
And, you know, I don't particularly like him. I just don't care for that style of wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
But to get thrown out the way he did was kind of, meh. It's kind of weak.
I didn't see it.
Basically, Big Show just picked him up and threw him out.
Yeah.
Like he did at the Royal Rumble with everybody in the ring.
Mm.
It's just kind of, oh, hey, he's here. Oh, wait, he's not.
Anything else? Well, that was...
The Lesnar thing we already talked about was amazing. Sheamus returning with that fucking mohawk.
I love that look.
Like the mohawk, hate the beard beads.
Yeah, I don't like the beard beads. The mohawk I'm cool with because I had the mohawk for a while too. But
the beard beads are a play on the Vikings thing.
But he's Irish.
Are they already getting ready for WrestleMania 33?
Is it in Minnesota?
That's what the rumor is.
Maybe Adrian Peterson can wrestle his son.
Yeah, it'd be a beating.
That's not funny, but it is.
We'll get that match this year in Dallas.
Yeah, because that's probably where he'll be.
Yep. We should talk some football right now just to piss off Kata.
Dude, we could go on football for fucking days.
Yeah, if we start that, we're going to be here till like 5 in the morning.
I can talk football for 2 hours right now.
For 2 hours?
A whole 2 hours.
I just had something. Oh, Byron fucking Saxton.
Listen, I don't like him.
He's fine on the panels. He's great on the panels.
On the panels, I agree, but to host Raw, no.
I think he was told to act that way.
Yeah, I mean,
because
it's supposed
to be, oh my God, I can't believe this just happened. But it just drug on too long, and when they brought him out, I'm like, you got Corey Graves right there, too. Send them both out. I don't know. It was just a poor choice, either direction-wise or... It just didn't work.
I didn't get to see Corey Graves wrestle because, like I said, I'd just gotten into NXT the past 4 or 5 months thanks to the mop. But
SJK?
I did not like him as a wrestler. I love him as an announcer.
As an announcer, he's amazing. I think he's doing great work. They should have him out there.
Then again, he's only been doing it for, 2 months?
Yeah, but
so maybe he needs a little more seasoning.
You can just tell it. He's got it, though.
And it's Vince McMahon. He probably doesn't like all the tattoos.
Because you look like that one guy that quit.
Well, not just that. It does... When he's got a suit on and you can see a neck tattoo, it looks strange.
Plus his knuckles.
And for a guy in his 70s, it doesn't, he's not as accepting of that culture as, like, say, we would be.
Right.
Pretty soon it's going to be the norm in wrestling.
It really will.
It already is.
It's Norman society. It's getting there, but there's still a lot of prejudice about tattoos and piercings in society as a whole. So you know a guy like Vince McMahon, who's a staunch fucking conservative, is going to be opposed to that.
We need Albert with all his old tattoos. I mean, all his old piercings.
Yeah.
And the body hair.
I think he will be a great trainer for NXT.
Yeah, there's a lot of good going on down in Florida right now.
Mm-hmm.
And none of it is TNA.
Yeah, well, TNA's not down in Florida anymore.
It's not clicking with me anymore at all. I'm not interested even a little.
I like that they got, like, Drew McIntyre or Drew Galloway. I mean, they got, like, the right pieces. It's just using them.
I can't get over the creative team and who makes it up. Emmy, really?
Yeah, that's not good.
That doesn't bother me. I think it's... Some of the good they're doing, I almost feel like it's too little, too late.
That's very possible, too.
Yeah.
They need something. They need to spark something. Like a rebranding or...
Again?
I mean, complete rebranding.
I mean, okay, if you're going to be Impact Wrestling, just be Impact Wrestling Incorporated. Go that route.
I don't think they've used the TNA name in a while, have they?
No, just when they do, you know, pay-per-views, whenever the fuck they are.
They haven't had one since rebranding.
Yeah.
So it's, you know,
and right now their tapings are all caught up till May.
Yeah, I think that's another part that bothers me is that how far in advance they've already taped.
Yeah,
and
it's almost impossible.
It doesn't make any sense. I will watch a TV show that's taped a year in advance and doesn't bother me a bit. But for whatever reason, wrestling, it bothers me at being that taped that far out.
Right.
Which shows do you watch that are taped a year in advance?
I'm just saying, you know.
Like The Walking Dead.
Yeah, they're like 6 months ahead. You know what I mean?
They tape them 6 months?
Oh, yeah.
I believe so.
I know a lot of other shows, they tape them, like, by the week. I mean, granted, like, by the time the last episode's done, there might be some time span before it airs, but...
Well, okay, like, 12 Monkeys, which airs on Sci-Fi on Fridays, that was done taping, I want to say, almost a year ago. And they're just now getting to the season finale next week. Because what they do is they do they just knock out all the episodes at one time in like a 3 month span, and they're just done with all of it. They don't go back and redo them.
It can also depend on the TV show too.
Oh yeah, totally.
Doctor Who. I know before the series premiere happens, they've already recorded every single episode. Then again, they're also a show that goes, okay, we're gonna the show is returning on this date, and they're gonna have one episode per week until. They have either a mid-season finale or a season finale. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Yeah, for some reason, my DVR picked up an episode of Doctor Who. I'm like, oh, sweet, they started back up. No, it was from 2010.
No, they're not doing another new episode until... I forget when. They're already. I know they're already recording.
I'm going to watch the rest of Season 8. I haven't watched it yet.
I'm just so excited.
I have caught up on Season 8.
All right, don't get on it.
Okay, did you ever watch the animated episodes?
No, but I've seen that they're on Netflix.
Yeah,
are they on Hulu?
Yeah, they're on Hulu. There was a couple of animated episodes, and I believe it was the Matt Smith ones, right? Or was it the Tenet ones?
I thought they were Tenet.
They might be Tenet. But yeah, I've got them favorited on there. I've got to go back and watch them.
I have to go back and start listening to more audiobooks. I have had such an on-and-off couple months. Like, I finished the first Dexter book, and I'm waiting until a friend of mine, she starts reading before I read more. But the next audiobook that I start after that is the Melody Malone Mystery, The Angel's Kiss, which is the book from Doctor Who.
I'm going to have to look into that.
The audiobook isn't very long. It's only, I have an hour and a half left. I just haven't sat down and listened to the rest. But what it's basically supposed to be, that whole book from the show as a book.
Yeah, I went ahead and canceled my Audible subscription because I've got one book halfway done. I've got two more that I haven't even started. And I would have been due for a new one in like 2 or 3 days. So I just went ahead and canceled it.
I need to figure out how to like return books to get different books because I've had the same two books on my Audible for like 2 years.
Can you do that?
I think Justin said he did.
You can, but far out. You a couple of years. Yeah, I think you have a certain amount of time where you can do it in.
Oh, yeah, I'm thinking like 30 to 60 days tops.
Oh, well, I'm going past that.
And it sounds like if you've only had the two, and it sounds like you don't have a subscription.
Nope.
Yeah, it could be a big key thing. You don't have a subscription.
All right, I'm gonna get a subscription though, because I like listening to books at work.
I gotta double check and see. I think I have a couple credits. I gotta see how many. I have 4 credits.
Yeah, see, that's kind of where I was at. I'm like, why am I still paying $15 a month when I'm never going to catch up like this?
And I have, this is all the books that I have in my queue, whether I have started reading them or not. Started reading them, finished reading them, or whatever. Doctor Who, The Angel's Kiss, Darkly Dreaming Dexter, which is the first Dexter book, Best in the World, Chris Jericho, Wrestling in My Life, Shawn Michaels, why did I get this? The Death Cure.
Interesting.
Myra to read.
Yeah, that's up my alley, too.
I gotta figure out why I got the Death Cure. Anyway. The Giver, America Again by Stephen Colbert, A Long Way Down, Tough Shit by Kevin Smith, Dearly Devoted Dexter, which is the second book, Dad is Fat by Jim Gaffigan, Fault in Our Stars, the Maze Runner trilogy, Gone Girl, Nothing Sacred, which is Lewis Black. I thought I had another Lewis Black book, but I'm wrong. Neil Patrick Harris's book, Choose Your Own Audiobook. Choose Your Own Autobiography. And Food, A Love Story by Jim Gaffigan, which was fucking awesome.
Yeah, Gaffigan's one I never got into, but that's just me.
You don't like his comedy?
I just never got into it. It's not like I disliked it. It's just...
He was a guy I never really got into, but then eventually at one point I had heard a lot of his comedy on XM, and then I watched his special from last year, roughly like right after it happened, and I liked him. And then I heard that he was coming out with audiobooks. I'm like, oh. Or he had books. Like, he had Dad Is Fat roughly when I found out about him, and then he just released Food, A Love Story, like, back in October. I actually, like, pre-ordered that on Audible. That was a good book.
Yeah, see, I like the true crime stuff better. It's just my personality, and that's why I haven't been listening to audiobooks, is because I scoured iTunes for a bunch of fucking true crime podcasts, and that's kind of filled my void lately.
Yep, which I need you to text me that list again, because I got to get them on my phone.
Oh, I was going to say, I think you have a couple of them, but I'll text you them again.
I have True Murder.
Got it.
I think that's the only one.
Sword and Scale.
No, I don't have that one, so I need you to...
I'll tweet them out, or text them out to you, or tweet them to you sometime.
Yeah, you can tweet me out. But...
Tweet.
Oh, okay, that is part of the Maze Runner series, The Death Cure.
Oh, yeah, I'm not
It was out of, well, I still need to finish the first Maze Runner. I've seen the movie, but the book's a little bit different. And then the second one's called The Scorch Trials, and then I forgot the third one is called Death Cure.
Yeah, the closest I came was I read all of the Hunger Games series.
Yeah.
And then if I were to go to my wish list, a lot of them were some I might not ever get, like Tales from the Cleveland Browns Sideline.
I mean, you could just ask the GM what those were.
I'm Dreaming of a Black Christmas by Lewis Black. I got a couple Doctor Who audiobooks, all three Matt Smith. Game of My Life, Chicago Bears, Amazing Tales from the Chicago Bears Sideline, Tears of a Tiger, which I read in high school and I kind of like, and Me of Little Faith, another book by Lewis Black. And I haven't gone through these in a while. Like I said, I got four fucking credits.
Yeah, like I said, that's why I went ahead and canceled my Audible, because I just, you know, if I've got like 60-some hours worth of audiobooks to listen to, and, you know, I don't spend that much time listening to audiobooks. It was all right for a little bit, and it's just kind of, ooh, podcast, I'll do this. It's free.
I just like having the variety.
Dude, if you actually saw my list of podcasts, you would know what variety was.
What I mean by variety is I look at podcasts as like talk radio.
Yeah.
And then I have my XM radio, which I normally, the main thing I listen to is Comedy Central. I have music either on my phone or even some through XM, and I have some CDs. And then audiobook is like a way. I listen to audiobooks the best when I'm like on an open road with not much traffic. When I start getting into places like some cities where there's traffic, I pay less attention to the book. And that kind of like fucks me up. But if I'm on like, let's say I'm on I-40 that runs through Tennessee. If I'm not going through Memphis, Nashville, or Knoxville, like there's parts of those roads that it's just, there's barely any, not that there's some little traffic, but it's mindless. There's parts of Texas which are very mindless. And then I could, like, listen to an audiobook like it's fucking nothing.
Yeah, see, that's my problem is usually if I'm listening, it's at work, and I'm doing mindless work, so it's just something in my ear keeping me from actually having to think about what my life has become.
Yeah. And then also when I drive to it, sometimes I'm talking actually to friends, too, so...
You have those?
Yeah, fellow drivers, people I went to school with. Shane's the one that doesn't have friends, because he doesn't have people skills.
Correct.
He's got, like, one, and he doesn't even like that one.
Ooh, there's a Brock Lesnar book.
Death Watch?
Yes.
Wait, does he read it?
No.
That would be epic.
Let's read this.
I fucking shit and urinate all over his fucking ass.
Oh, does Stone Cold read this? If it's so, I'm getting it right now. Oh, hell yeah. The Stone Cold Truth.
Read by Steve Austin?
Yes.
When did they start adding, because I looked up wrestling books and couldn't find anything.
This came up on one of my, I'm just going to confirm this purchase. I'm going to play the sample.
I need help. I think I'm having a heart attack. Liz DeFabio, one of the WWE executives, just happens to be walking down the hall. I have my door wide open, waiting for some help. So I see her and yell.
So?
Son of a bitch.
Let me see if it comes up if I type in WWE. But actually, let me go backwards first.
I want
to see what I was looking up. It was based on your Audible purchases, and I had purchased the Shawn Michaels and what's his nuts, Jericho.
Yeah.
And it's funny, Shawn Michaels and Jericho's books come up when I type in WWE now. But Austin says, and that means I'm gonna have to search.
Mm-hmm.
I searched for the Bret Hart book because I wanted to hear that one. Yeah, that's the only wrestling book that comes up. All the other books that come up are...
Amateur wrestling?
No. I'm talking about just books in general. The Maze Runner series, it's funny. They have 1, 2, and 3, and then they have, like, a prequel book. Like, their version of The Hobbit, called The Killer, that shows up. Yes, Please by Amy Poehler. One Dexter book. The Dark Story of Eminem.
Dude, I think that Yes, Please book shows up on everybody's fucking suggested.
I hate Amy Poehler.
Dude, it was like the front page of Audible, my Audible thing for like 3 months. I'm like, god damn.
I figured it'd be Tina Fey's. Tina Fey's always showed up on mine too. See, another Dexter book. The Insurgent, one of the Insurgent books, and I know the other one shows up here, a Doctor Who book, Brock Lesnar. Why? Oh, because it's on my wish list because I haven't purchased it. Like, 2 Lewis Black books, Nick Offerman, Paddle Your Own Canoe, another Dexter book.
Does he actually read that?
Probably.
I love listening. Nick Offerman. I could listen to Nick Offerman read a whole book.
Yes. A lot of times when comedians write a book or anything, they read it, too, because it, I don't know, it just works.
Yeah, he's one of those guys I could tolerate listening to.
Any comedians or actors, like, people who read their books that I have... I was sad when Michael Hall was not the one who reads the Dexter books. It's actually the author. If it was him, that would make those books fucking amazing. Alex Carrington actually reads the Melody Malone book. America Again by Stephen Colbert is read by Colbert. Kevin Smith reads Tough Shit. Jim Gaffigan reads both of his books, which would make it awesome. And Neil Patrick Harris reads his book. I love those books because it seems more genuine.
Well, they can actually put the inflection where it should be.
Yeah.
It's really difficult for someone else to know what inflections you're trying to put on words.
Mm-hmm. What was one of the worst ones? I was like, oh, fucking, when I was listening to Dexter. This is what I don't understand. It sounds like the author had different pronunciations for some of the characters in Dexter. Like, he doesn't say La Guerta, he says, like he pronounces it differently.
LaGuardia?
Yeah, or something, no, not LaGuardia, it's like, it's LaGuarda, or something like that. But it's like, when he said it, I'm like, wait a minute, you're the author. So does that mean Showtime fucked it up?
No, Walking Dead does this too, where they change characters from the book, and some people that weren't in the book are in the movie, and some people that are in the show died in the book.
It's the same name, different pronunciation.
He's probably just being a...
Do you not fucking listen? Because that's really what I just said, and you went on and was like, oh, well, that's what they do. Of course that's what they do.
Yeah, that's change it up.
That's what books from, whether going to TV shows or movies, but I'm saying like the pronunciation. That's what was weird. And, like, when you hear it, you immediately want to go, no, dude, it's LaGuardia. Then I go, wait a minute, you're the author.
Did the author, was the author in on the process?
I don't think so.
In the writing process of the TV show?
I think so, because the first season is the first book. The only difference in the first season and the first book is the ending. Other than that, like, it's almost, I almost want to say not shot for shot, but it's, like, pretty much the same story. Few minor differences, but it's after that they both take forks in the road, as far as I understand. Because I've heard some crazy stuff about the books.
How funny would it be if it was just a mispronunciation the first time in the show, and they couldn't go back and change it? So they just had to keep going with it.
Could have been. That, or I was thinking like maybe because the author could have picked the name not knowing the pronunciation. Because that's another thing too. Like I've always wondered like how. Authors get some of these names. Like some of them just like open up a phone book and go, you.
phone book? What are those?
You know, on the tweeter. Of course you know the phone book. They still give them out. They're not used. People throw them away, but they still give them out.
I don't think I've gotten a phone book in years. But then again, I haven't had a home phone either, so.
Right.
My old apartment building, they used to, they either put them at your door, or one year, this was so dumb, they took a stack of them, put them by the mailboxes. I don't think one person grabbed one.
I was going to say, how many of them were still sitting there?
Such a waste.
Dude, the amount of paper that we waste in this fucking country is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
I know for a fact a lot of it gets recycled, though.
Yeah, we say that, but look how many pieces of junk mail you get in the mail every fucking day.
The only benefit to all that is that was somebody's job.
Yep.
Like,
it was somebody's job for at least the next year or two until they figure out, oh, hey, we don't have to pay for this no more.
It's like when I first got into the printing industry, when I worked in this newspaper's mailroom, and one of the big projects for the week, every week, started on Monday. We were lucky if it was done by Thursday. No, we were lucky if it was done by Wednesday. Sometimes it would trickle into Thursday. But it was stuffing the Sunday comics with all the ads. It all couldn't be done by machine because it's so big. So half of it was done through a machine, and then the rest were hand-stuffed. So we would spend hours and hours and hours on this, and then you go to someone's house on a Sunday and, like, you just see the trash bag.
Full of it.
Not the trash bag, but you just see, like, someone just, like, threw out their newspaper pretty quick, and you're like, do you know how much time I worked on that?
That sounds like the most god-awful boring job in existence.
Yeah. No, there's got to be more boring. We'd talk and everything, but we'd also, like, we were also allowed to have, like, CD players, because it was really before MP3 players were really big. We were allowed to have our little personal CD players, headphones. You still listen to a lot of music.
You've got to do something or you'd fucking probably shoot yourself.
I mean, it's better than, you know, cleaning urinals and everything.
Hey, at least my job is pretty fucking secure. They can't really hire a computer to do my job.
You sure?
No, not 100% yet, but...
All they got to do is find the mopping feature on the Roomba, and that's part of your job. All they gotta do is, like,
let's see
all
if
right.
fucking Roomba set up a goddamn fucking plastic table and chairs, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Didn't I just say that they would have to find a mopping feature on a Roomba, and that's part, P-A-R-T, of your job? I guess when we're talking to mop, we have to speak real slow and make sure we do not use big words, because he's smoking. He's not listening to us.
Are you smoking?
A fucking statement. I was trying to be fucking funny.
Yeah, I'm trying to be funny too.
Hey, you fucking got 3:15? Holy hell.
I got 2:15.
Oh, shut up.
I'm on Central Time, motherfucker. I guess we went on our tangent long enough to end what was supposed to be all wrestling, but we ended it with something else. It's fine, whatever.
You mean, like I said, we'll start with wrestling.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, majority of it was wrestling when you thought about it.
Yeah, we went off all kinds of fucking weird-ass places with it. Zack Ryder got mentioned in a fucking WrestleMania podcast.
Yeah.
Well, he was actually at WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He was in the Battle Royal.
I'm trying to figure out, like, an obscure wrestler. It's like, at least we didn't mention... Back then, we even mentioned the Brooklyn Brawler.
We named Kali.
Brooklyn Brawler.
That would have been a funny person to put in the Battle Royal.
Kurt Hawkins.
Brooklyn Brawler.
Oh. Did you just do a Kurt Hawkins reference?
Kurt.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
He's been wrestling AIW lately.
I didn't mind him. I thought he was alright.
I loved him and Tyler Rex.
Yeah, Tyler Rex is pretty cool.
And Tyler Rex is fucking jacked as fuck now.
Funny match I seen at AIW back in, was that February? Some of these shows just blend together for me. Might have been in December. But it was Kurt Hawkins, a.k.a. Brian Myers, versus Clef Compton. And they decided they were going to have a match to figure out who the best tag team of the, what was that, the late 2000s? Yeah, late 2000s. And Brian Myers brought out his tag title. Because you have Hawkins and Ryder represented, and you have Deuce and Domino represented.
Right.
So they were going to figure out who was going to be who was the best tag team at that time. I can't remember who won, but the funny thing is they had the referee run in the back and put on a blue polo.
Nice. For SmackDown.
Yeah. Yeah, he's cool. I like Brian Myers.
Yeah, he seems like he'd be a pretty fun guy to hang out with.
Mm-hmm. Then here in a couple weeks, the Young Bucks are coming to AIW. Yeah.
I like them. What's with all the hate on them?
I'm like the mop on like a lot of the people he hates. A lot of people like them, so I don't like them. And I've never seen the big appeal to them. Like, people are like, I love these guys, and I look at them and I just go, really? Why?
They're pompous, arrogant fucks who really aren't all that good.
Mm-hmm. And I told Kata I'm going to get a picture and an autograph with them just because I can.
And then burn it.
No, I'll keep it.
Show him the picture and then, you know, make sure you're flipping off the camera, too, to be like, fuck you, Kata.
I should get two. And I'll burn one of them, but not tell him that I got two, even though he's probably listening to this, so this makes it really redundant.
How you doing?
How you doing?
How you doing? I fucking love those guys. They are so, like, not people I would talk to either, but I could watch those two.
The thing that I love, and I've told everybody about it, go to Enzo's Instagram and watch any video that he does.
I don't even know how to use Instagram.
Do you have one?
No.
And you talk Mop about me being an old man.
Yeah, Mop has one. Mop had, like, one of my pictures recently.
Yeah, I opened it up once in the last 3 months.
But you're sticking to your word about staying on Facebook more.
Yeah, I'm favoriting. I don't like posting what's going on in my life. I like having a private life. I like not people knowing what I'm doing.
Yeah.
But I'm sharing and liking things.
Well, there you go.
I need to find out, where is the picture that Robert liked? Oh, the mop jacket. Oh, yeah, it was my license pictures. My last four.
So can I download an app while being on an app on an iPhone?
Yeah.
Probably.
You can.
Okay.
Depends. If it's one of the old ones, you may not be able to.
No, it's by this. I can say, though, the one thing I do miss about my note compared to this was that stylus, so I could write down my notes. That was cool.
You can get one, right?
Yeah, but it was already built right in the phone. I didn't have to, like, carry it with me. It was there. Okay, I'm getting an Instagram account. Good God, I'm getting... What the fuck is the matter with me?
Over under a month before it gets deleted.
No, it's how often would he actually use it?
Yeah, because I don't take pictures.
I don't really either.
Well, I would have to get the exact count. I've used Instagram more since my breakup. I'm sure, like, right now my Instagram account says I have 221 pictures, but I've also deleted every single one of her and almost all the ones with her dog.
Fuck it, dog.
And since then, I've posted 1, 2, 3. No, I can just do 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16.
I don't know if somebody did take FTW 780.
You probably have an account.
No, I don't have one.
Shit, I have, since my breakup,
I'm gonna do that.
I have posted 93 pictures out of 221.
Good God. I've posted like 15.
Well, here's the kicker. My first picture on Instagram, well, roughly, because it was of her dog and it's been deleted, but was roughly 232 weeks ago, which is when Instagram first started. Like, when I first got on Instagram, it was roughly when it first came out, and when I went to, like, see what Facebook contacts you have on here, or actually, you could look at Twitter contacts you could that were on there. There was only, like, three people, because it was iPhone only, and it was new.
Okay, dickheads, I'm on there as FTW1780. I don't know how to follow people, so.
You heard it here first, folks.
Sure.
FTW1780.
Yep. I have a poster already. Have you said it's following
me? I
have
to fucking do this.
Oh, fuck yeah.
No, I gotta figure out how to add people.
It's not hard. It's literally like picture version of Twitter.
I know, but it's, I have to figure it out. So it's FTW 1780.
Yes.
Hey, it actually popped up with just FTW. No posts. Follow.
Let's look up, see if we can find who has 780.
Yeah, and you send them a middle finger picture.
FTW, that is you.
I have one?
Yeah. I'm following you. You're also being followed by Sweet Pete. And you are following, and this is how it makes me know it's you, LeBron James and Ray Allen.
That is me. Okay, so how do I sign out of this one to sign into that one? You know what? Fuck it, I'll just use this one.
No, use the other one, because it's, I don't know, branding.
Yeah, it's branding. All right.
Wait,
that reminds me, Mop, did you get an extra Skype?
Yeah, I added a new Skype when I'm going to play around with something.
Okay.
GBL, if you're listening, props on the Jim Beam, sir.
What?
Oh, I saw that you were drinking that tonight.
The big old bottle of Jim Beam.
I don't have GBL.
You and the goddamn food pictures.
I don't know. Jim. Oh, yeah, that was yesterday. Well, Saturday drinks that for him. Yeah, it's just... Do they sell that Jim Beam?
I don't know. The, but it like mixed, really good.
Well, the it's like Jim Beam, bourbon, and cola,
yeah.
Like mixed, pre-mixed. Do they sell that here?
I don't know, but I don't. It's something worth looking into.
How do you find people?
Go to the little magnifying glass.
Okay. Are you wondering?
He's used the mop jockey.
Yeah. I think I don't fucking know. Yes, the mop jockey.
Yes, you're the mop jockey, and I'm Heavyset 330.
Oh, my dog.
All right. Cool. All right, boys. I guess I could unfollow that fucking traitor.
I should follow LeBron now.
Well, I should follow fucking unfollow what's-his-nuts, too.
Ray Allen?
Is this Kata? Are these Kata's dogs?
How do I see who I'm following? I don't know how to do this. Oh, right there. Okay, I followed Mop. Jesus, how many times did I tell him? All right, okay.
Why don't you want to follow LeBron? He's probably they're going to the playoffs.
Playoffs?
We just beat this one team from Miami last week.
Mm-hmm.
You want to bust out the LeBron jersey.
Aren't you glad you didn't burn that now?
What?
Aren't you glad you didn't burn that after all?
I never wanted to burn it. I thought people... Well, cause especially with me, like, I bought my LeBron jersey halfway through the season that he left. So people are like, burning it? I'm like, nope, I just bought it. I only wore it, like, once.
Yeah, like, I still got the Miami shirts with his name on it, but and I'm not getting rid of them.
I swear I want to wear the LeBron jersey every time I go to, like, Memphis.
Why?
Because the Grizzlies.
I don't get it.
Okay.
Though if I wear a Cavs jersey, the one that I really need to wear is my throwback Shaq jersey. Well, throwback Cavs jersey, but it's Shaq when he was playing.
I am about to take my first picture on Instagram.
Oh, God. No dick pics.
No cucumber pics.
I think they'll flag those.
Yeah, they kind of do.
I know. What good is Instagram if you can't look at naked pictures?
Wait a minute. I just took a picture of my fucking leg. What the heck?
I think that's good. You're awesome.
Thanks.
Bye.
Okay. Are we really still recording this?
Yes, we are.
Yeah. We will end on that note.
All right. Look, hold on. I just posted my first Instagram, so we got up. Not there. It's me flipping you guys off. You're welcome.
You probably did do it right.
Yeah, you're putting
hey,
hashtags.
GBL, can't even tell what it is.
It's a fucking finger.
The fucking finger.
Is that Call of Duty in the background?
Oh, that's WrestleMania 31.
Oh, I watched that earlier.
All right, that will do it
yeah, that
for
WrestleMania
us.
WrestleMania was a pretty good show, wasn't it?
Fucking tank.
That will do it for us right here on Anything Goes right here. Not anymore on Kayfabe Sports Radio because we are on the TrendingTopicsNetwork.com.
It's no longer a work.
And we talked about WrestleMania that had NWO and not
tank.
Had the NWO and not the NWA, and Shane just fucked up by showing up.
Lick balls, man.
You lick balls?
No, I said you lick balls.
So, Mop Jockey, where can we find you at?
At the Mop Jockey. And as the main event of the weekend review. Bitches!
That's if I don't post this before you get cashed in on.
Good luck.
Okay.
Good luck, Porta.
And FTW?
You can follow me on Twitter, again, at FTW780, Instagram at FTW780, and that's about it.
How about Facebook?
Most of the people that listen to this show are friends with me on Facebook. If not, get a hold of me on Twitter, and I'll add you.
MySpace? You got a MySpace account?
I wish I still had my old MySpace, because I'd miss MySpace.
Well, how's your Tinder account doing?
I don't have a Tinder account. I think Leanne would kick my ass.
I have a Tinder account.
Yeah, because you're allowed to look at that stuff. You're trying to get pushy.
Mm-hmm. If she doesn't want you to look, put a ring on it.
Dude, fuck.
He wants to put an O-ring on it.
An O-ring? Or a cock ring?
All right, and get a hold of us by using @TheAnythingGoes on Twitter. Who knows when we're going to have another episode. We probably should have had, like, 2 episodes in between the last one, but somehow at times that's just how shit happens.
Start sending questions, that way we're prepared. Good questions, too.
I mean, we're doing pretty good, like 6 since us WrestleMania, right?
Mm-hmm. That's more in the time frame of the WrestleMania before that. No, that's more in the time frame of the last WrestleMania, well, WrestleMania 29 to 30 we had,
yeah.
Since we had 0.
Mm-hmm. We're keeping up with the broadcast schedule.
Mm-hmm. We also had, like 2 episodes that didn't see the light of day. Mm-hmm. Almost like that lost episode of NFL Easy Picks.
Yeah, but that one, thank God it didn't get, because we all suck.
At least we ended the year off with a bang, and if you do listen to NFL Easy Picks, sometime this off season, hopefully.
Oh, we're doing it.
We are going to record some off season episodes. I think no more than 3. I think the target's probably going to be 2. And that's between now and preseason. And when preseason starts, sometime probably halfway through preseason, we'll start some preseason episodes and then get into the regular.
Yeah, on that same note, I'm wanting to start a fantasy football also podcast thingy. So if you got questions for that, send them to me. And we'll start working on that probably right around after the draft.
Did we pick a name for that? I forgot.
I think we went with Short Slants, and I think that's still available on Twitter as a hashtag, so that's probably going to be it.
Short Slants, and we're not talking about Shane.
Fuck you. I can teach you a lot about fantasy football. Don't listen to me.
No,
I may be looking for a co-host because I don't think either one of these two like fantasy football that much.
I love fantasy football. I just suck at it.
I'm not a numbers guy when it comes to fantasy football.
Yeah, see, that it's going to be a whole lot of numbers.
The part of fantasy football I like is technically the pick-ems, which is technically was why I have NFL Easy Picks. That's where it all came from.
See, I'm talking about individual player numbers and yada blah, blah, blah.
Oh, fuck that. Oh, yep. I'm out.
So like I said, I may be looking for a co-host.
You might want to hit up Jack if he's available at any time, but that might be part.
You know who else is really good at stats and numbers, but I think he's more of a baseball guy who's chief.
Yeah.
I was also thinking maybe hit up DRG. DRG seems to be into that. Maybe an ant, but we'll see. Have to see.
Yep. And hopefully when it comes, I'm hoping to expand the Fantasy League and the Pick'ems League next year. I'm thinking if I can get 20 people interested in Fantasy, I might do it.
You better hit that Captain Awesome fucker up because he plays. I know he does.
Yeah, but I don't know if you heard him on the Spanish announce table when I mentioned. You kind of like him hawing around it. It's funny. I think Captain would be good for the Fantasy. T-Mac might be good for the show. Yeah, because he will watch football all around. But I'm going to see how many new people. I wouldn't be surprised if I open 2 to 4 more spots, because I think we might have enough interest in it. I've also got confirmation that we might have the returning Stevie G next year.
So you can kick him out of the league again?
I've already told him about it. I'm like, yeah, I kicked you out last time. And he's kind of like, well, he could get it on and everything. I'm like, okay. Well, it's bullshit.
I give it 6 weeks.
I give it 2 weeks before you forget to set picks.
No, I'm going through the whole year and doing what I did this past.
And then you didn't even set one for the Super Bowl. You had one game. You had one game.
Yeah, I fucked up.
But that will do it for us right here on Anything Goes. And we will catch you guys whenever the fuck we have another show. So for Mop, for FTW, all I gotta say is
bah, bah,
bah.